You are listening to KNNA LP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Popp, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
95.7 FM The Cross has limited range. Because we are a low-power radio station, KNNA doesn't reach much farther than within Lancaster County. In some cases, you can hear us as far as the four corners of Ashland, Portland, Raymond, and Denton. In other cases, you can hear KNNA The Cross in Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio, Montana, Washington, Alaska, even England, using our web or the app, of course. That's right, we may be little, but we are heard throughout the nation and the world.
And now for something completely different.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
The radio show Off on a Tangent is completely different. It's also unpredictable, inexplicable, hilarious, manic, distracted, simple, yet filled with rich layers like a yogurt before you stir the fruit together.
I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
Listen to Off on a Tangent broadcast live almost every Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on KNNA.
KNNA The Cross on your car radio is amazing. what makes it more amazing is the ability to listen to 95.7 FM on the web at www.thecross957.org. Plus, you can check out our archive shows and listen to previous programs on demand. It's easy, it's educational, it's KNNA The Cross, thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
To the Y-Files.
Hello.
I am Captain Kirk. Along here with me is David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
How's it going, David?
It's going good, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's a beautiful day out there.
It is a beautiful day here in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's where we are, is Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a low-power radio station, so if you're not in Lincoln, then you are obviously listening on your phone. Or on the website, which is where you can listen to. And if you're listening on the radio and then you leave Lincoln and you like listening to 95.7, you can go to thecross957.org, where you can stream the radio station from there. Or if you prefer to use your phone, either Android device or iPhone, you can download the KNNA app. It is free. And I know I've been hearing a bit more about some issues with that app, though. I hate to admit this. But I've found that if you are having difficulties with it, just to totally exit out of the app. And then reopen it, and then it should play.
Just works.
So
just
I don't
fine.
Know what the issue is. It's not really on our end for that. But yeah, if you do run into that, yeah. So anyways, this is the Y-Files. It's part of KNNA where we take some sometimes serious questions, sometimes out of this world questions, and we ask pastors about those questions, and we go into some pretty lengthy discussions on it. Sometimes we only get to one question, and it takes the entire hour. Sometimes we get to four questions. It just depends on the necessity of continuing that conversation. So David, we've discussed things like the veracity of the Bible, whether or not Jesus is God, whether or not he existed, for that matter. We've talked about the sacraments.
Right.
We've talked about baptism, infant baptism. What else have we talked about?
We've talked about abortion issues. We've talked about aliens.
Yes, we have.
Have we talked about Bigfoot yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
And
we've talked about talking about Bigfoot.
And
I know that.
Yeah, we're going to eventually. I just don't know how long that one will last. I'd just be like, does Bigfoot exist? I don't know. Okay, move on. Next.
Maybe.
I don't know. So we might end up talking about... One of the things I do want to talk about eventually is the Nephilim.
Yes.
There is a group of people that totally gets blown out of proportion a lot of times, especially if you go on YouTube. Which is actually where I get a lot of these questions, as well as questions from you, the listener. If you want to submit a question that we will ask on your behalf, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theYfiles. That's the letter Y, and you can submit a question. So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Burns.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So we've got some interesting questions for you, especially this first one. So David, take it away before I start talking too much again.
Okay, this question requires a little setup, a little bit of talking about definitions. It's a question about social justice warriors. Now, the definition of a social justice warrior is someone who promotes, quote, socially progressive views, including feminism, civil rights, multiculturalism, and in some cases, socialism. Jesus talked a lot about caring for the poor and the needy, and some people take those bits of scripture and suggest by them that Jesus was a socialist / social justice warrior. Pastor, is this true? Was Jesus a socialist?
No. no, next question. No. socialism as a political tenet would say, my understanding anyway, that your government runs all of these programs and divides everything out, and everybody gets the same, well, supposedly everybody gets the same share except for those at the top, which is really interesting. But when Jesus is talking about giving to the poor, he's not talking about, the governmental bureaucracy taking from those who have and giving it to others. What he's calling his disciples, his Christians, to do is to care for those in need, as he cares for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that that we pray, and he teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And one of the things that's interesting about that petition is we are there asking for the bread that is necessary for today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking for bread even for tomorrow or the next day or, the retirement. Although, of course, he gives us these things as well. But we're asking for the bread that's necessary for today, the stuff of this life that I need for life now. And we learn in Luther's Small Catechism that God gives daily bread to all people, even all evil people, the Catechism says, without any merit on our own. In other words, God feeds those who are his people and those who reject him alike. He makes the rain fall on the Christian farmer's field just as he does the pagan neighbor. And so he gives us that daily bread, and he gives it to us because he is a loving father who provides for us. Now, as Christians, though, we pray in that petition that we would learn to realize that God gives us our daily bread, our stuff, our money, our possessions, all of these things, that we would receive them with thanksgiving, but then also that we would love our neighbor as he has loved us. So much of the Christian life, as far as relationship to other people, really is grounded in, and I shouldn't say so much of it, it all is grounded in the fact that God first loves us, first provides for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus is telling his disciples to give to the poor, to care for widows and orphans, the scriptures tell the church. God is telling us to be who we are as Christians and to care for those in need because God cares for us, to love our neighbor because God loves us, and that through us, then our neighbor receives his daily bread.
Right.
That is something that is completely different from socialism or from being a social justice warrior. God is always concerned with justice,
mm-hmm.
right? Justice is an important thing. But man has a very twisted view of justice. And I think 21st century man has an even more twisted view of justice, perhaps, than we've ever seen. We tend to think of justice and equality with that of sameness,
mm-hmm.
that there are no distinctions, that there are no differences, as if somehow being wealthy is in and of itself sinful. We have to bear in mind that some of the patriarchs, Abraham was very wealthy. Father Abraham, right? To whom the promise was given that the Christ would come through his lineage, he himself was wealthy. And so God does not chastise him for his wealth. Matter of fact, God blesses him with it. Is Jesus a social justice warrior? No. But at the same time, he is a loving Lord who gives his people to likewise be loving and to care for those in need as well.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns. We've been talking whether or not Jesus was a socialist or a social justice warrior. And I want to continue that discussion when we come back from the break. So don't go away. We've got more coming up. In the meantime, go to our Facebook page, The Y Files, and submit a question that you just might have.
I'm Pastor Dreyer from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a graduate school that serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in preparing men and women to serve within the church. More particularly, we prepare men for the pastoral ministry, as well as ladies for the serve as deaconesses within our congregations. Our overall mission statement is that we exist for servants of Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. If you want further information, feel free to give us a call at area code 260-452-2155. Peace be with you.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Welcome back to the Wild Files, everybody. I am Captain Kirk. Along here joining me as my co-host is David, who also, we both also do Off on a Tangent.
Indeed.
We do. So we might be goofballs on Saturday morning or Saturday evenings, but when it comes to Sunday afternoons, we're dead serious.
All business.
It's all business.
All business here.
So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns, and we've been discussing whether or not Jesus was a social justice warrior. We already got into that topic pretty well, but something that he mentioned about that God blesses people who are wealthy, and that got me to remember an article I just briefly looked at. This person started writing an article believing that Jesus is a social justice warrior, and he uses the book of Luke, chapter 6, starting at verse 20, as kind of the argument for his argument. And just really quick, it says, blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are hungry, you know, because in other words, God's going to take care of them. But as you go down to verse 24 and on, it says, but woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are well fed, woe to you who laugh and have fun, kind of a stuff. Their argument is, what does it say here? Who does Yeshua sound like in this sermon? I'm reading from the article. He tells us that those who suffer oppression are favored by God. He tells that those who are privileged in this world are not so privileged by God. Pastor, what say you?
One of the great and beautiful things about the scriptures, and especially about the Gospel of Luke, one of the major themes of the Gospel of Luke is this great reversal imagery. St. Mary in her Magnificat highlights this beauty. So it's a beautiful example from Luke chapter 1. You know, the mighty are cast down from their thrones. He exalts those of lowly estate, so on and so forth. And really, in the Gospel of Luke, we have that theme coming out quite a bit, that God chooses and blesses that which in the world actually looks to be perhaps even cursed, one might say. And this is how God has always operated his people. I mean, how did he choose out Israel in the Old Testament, right? I mean, they were a despised people by much of the world. You know, that God has chosen the lowly and made them his people. And so he continues to do. And that's a great comfort to us because God comes and chooses those of low estate to be his people and blesses them. St. Paul writes beautifully about this in his epistles as well, that God has taken the despised of the world and made them his own, that that which is foolish to the world is the wisdom to God, the great theology of the cross. And so as the author of this article turns to Luke chapter 6, he takes these texts and really pulls them out of context, is what so often happens. If you go back to verse 20, verse 20 begins, "And turning his gaze toward his disciples." So look at who Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to his disciples, and he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." These people are despised because of their faith. They're blessed because, in spite of all of these things, their hunger and their lowly estate now in this life, they have faith in the Son of Man, that is, in the Christ, in Jesus, their Savior. "Be glad in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets." God's people are always despised. Mm-hmm. And this is why sometimes maybe as American Christians we miss out on something important, because thanks be to God, in our experience here in America, the church hasn't suffered great outward persecution as she does around the world and as she has done historically, and as our Lord promises will endure until our Lord returns. Then he goes on to his woes. "Woe to you who are rich, for you receive comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." So the comparison is back to the Old Testament people who were choosing admiring and speaking well of those who had great wealth and all of these things, as if that was somehow proof that they were God's people and not the poor and the lowly and the despised. And so they actually missed the whole point of who God is and how he makes his people. So the woes are for those who are trusting in these things now, mm-hmm. and despising those who have not. That's very different than saying all rich people somehow are cursed by God. Now, it's true, having great wealth certainly brings its certain temptations with it.
Right.
But so also do those temptations come to those who do not have. The Lord says, you cannot serve both God and mammon, Jesus says. Or as it's oftentimes translated as money, mm-hmm.
But it could also be translated as just stuff, right?
As stuff, right? And that's right. And that's why I choose to use the word mammon, because that includes more than money. Mm-hmm. It's all sorts of stuff. Now, one can serve stuff if they have it, if they have that stuff, but they can also serve stuff and be devoted to stuff that they don't have, by setting their hearts and minds on things that they don't have, by despising those who do have that stuff, and by coveting what that which has not been given to them. Now, oftentimes people will bring this argument into this argument that Christians somehow shouldn't have property. And yet our Lord gives us the seventh commandment, "You shall not steal," because he wants property to be protected. And as in our Lutheran circles, we, again, using the language of the catechism, the Lord wants us to help, wants us to help our neighbor to improve and protect his possessions and income. Rather than setting our hearts and minds on coveting that neighbor's things, we can help him to keep his own, and to be a blessing to him in those kinds of things. And so, you know, no, Jesus here is not advocating socialism or social justice, and no, Jesus does not reject people simply because they are wealthy. But where one puts their heart and their mind, there is their God. And if your heart and mind in this life are on things, on wealth, your God is a false God. And so woe to you. Woe to you who are rich now, because that which you have is going to be taken from you.
Just going through the scriptures that we've talked about, I've noticed a certain commonality in everything that Jesus says. It seems like he exhorts the individual to exercise kindness and charity, and quote social justice in their own lives. He doesn't call on the Roman Empire to start feeding people. It's not political. It's personal.
It's an exercise of faith.
Right.
You know, right. Faith. Sometimes we Lutherans might get accused of rejecting good works, which is utterly ridiculous. Because good works flow from faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it is that. You know, you are saved by grace through faith alone, and not of your own works, lest any man boast. But God has also prepared good works for us in advance to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so our salvation is not based on what we do, yet that doesn't mean that we don't do.
Right.
You know, and so the individual Christian who recognizes that God has blessed him, whether it be with lots of material blessings or very little material blessings, can exercise his faith by using those materials not for himself, but for the sake of the neighbor. And, you know, we can also stop and look at the history of the church, you know, even just in America's short history. Who was it that started hospitals and orphanages? Who ran all of the social programs, which have now been taken over by government?
Mm-hmm.
It was the church.
Yeah.
The church did these things because that's who she is, not because government said to do it, but because her Lord had blessed her, and so she cares for those whom her Lord and Savior has died for, those who believe in him and those who don't. The church still is there to serve those who are in need. And so now we could back up too, and you know, you could jump into looking at, you know, in Luther's day when, you know, so 500 years ago in Germany, where the princes of the states were Christian. Certainly there, you know, Luther wouldn't shy away from saying to the prince, hey, you know, you need to make sure to care for these people.
Mm-hmm.
But doing so as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he, as a Christian, had the resources and the office through which to do it. That's not to say government fixes all problems, but to say this is what Christians do.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. So we got. So you guys are listening to the Y-Files. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns. We've been discussing whether or not Jesus was a social justice warrior, and no, he's not. He's not. So if you have any questions for the Y-Files, you can go to the Facebook page, the Y-Files, just that's one letter, just the letter Y. Go to the Facebook page and ask a question that we will ask on your behalf to a pastor in the future. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
The United States, her constitution unlike that of any other world nation. A national ensign that proudly flies higher than any other. And servants, men and women who have taken an oath, a solemn witness promise, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to that Constitution, that our Constitution and our way of life may stand firm as they have. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. They are called Marines, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen. The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7, thanks God for you. God bless you all, and may God bless America.
The LP in KNNALP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Hi, I'm Nancy from FM 95.7's Big Band program When Music Was Music. Do you remember the days when a 78 RPM record was the only kind of record you could buy?
I am old lovable Jack Kirk with an invitation then just for you. If you remember, or even if you don't, Nancy and I are sure you will enjoy our every Friday night big band program that we call When Music Was Music.
Give us a listen. We think you'll have a 78 RPM good time with us every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on The Cross, KNNALPFM 95.7.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Y-Files. And if we've been discussing with Pastor Burns about whether or not Jesus was a social justice warrior, if you've missed that entire half hour, give me till about 3:20, which, by the way, it is October 21st, 2018. So if it's not Sunday and it's not that date, it's a replay.
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't matter to you. But if you're listening just now, give me until 3:20 to get it on the website, and then you can listen to the first half hour of the program. So go to thecross957.org a little after 3:20. Give me a chance to get it on the website. So, Pastor Burns, welcome back once again to the Y-Files. It's been great to have you on again. And it's always a joy to see you because we went to college together, and it's always good to see people.
A couple years ago.
You made me feel so young. It puts these gray hairs away. Okay, so we were talking about social justice warrior, and now I want to shift gears completely for a American holiday that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
and that's Halloween. And there's all sorts of people who say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, but then you get other people who say, oh, there's all sorts of things wrong with it. So the question is, should we as Christians celebrate one way or the other Halloween?
That's a great question, and I've faced these questions from folks a bit in the past. I think it's important to kind of understand a little bit of the history about Halloween. Halloween is actually comes out of Christian origins. Hmm. Halloween is a kind of a smashed up version of Hallow's Eve. And so for those who maybe aren't familiar with the church calendar, November 1st is the Feast of All Saints, All Saints Day. And as we keep track in the church, we begin celebrating holidays on the eve before the date of the holiday. So everybody knows Christmas and Christmas Eve. I think we were even talking during the break about the Christmas Eve service at church. That, you know, in some places it's got to be 11 o'clock. It's got to be midnight. otherwise, it's just not Christmas Eve.
That's right.
Well, we're actually already beginning to celebrate Christmas. We are starting our Christmas celebration on Christmas Eve. Likewise, the church begins celebrating Easter on Saturday night with the Easter Vigil, that we're already celebrating the Lord's resurrection even before the sunrise service, as most places are probably familiar with on Sunday morning. Well, All Saints Day, being November 1st, would really begin with its eve, and that would be All Hallows Eve, October 31st, beginning at, we would say, sundown. We're beginning our celebration of All Saints Day. And the history of All Saints Day goes back to some places in Syria, the early church in Syria, in the mid to late 300s, 4th century. Other places, it was celebrated starting in the 4th or 5th century. It was later kind of more established as a date in the 600s. The first kind of established date for the whole church was May 13th. Then, about 100 years later, Pope Gregory III changed the date to November 1st. And really, since that time, kind of the whole Western church, if you will, coming out of the Western tradition, has celebrated All Saints Day on November 1st, beginning, of course, as we said, with the eve of All Hallows Eve. And so so Christians ought to kind of stop and think about that Halloween really is actually a Christian a Christian festival. Now, it's been hijacked, as so many things have been hijacked from the church, and pagans, neo-pagans, and so forth have attached all sorts of things to Halloween, to All Hallows Eve. They've tried to accuse the church, as they do so often, of hijacking pagan festivals, which I don't think we have time to get into all the history, but really has kind of been proved to be false. Mm-hmm. That Christians have been celebrating All Saints Day long before these pagan festivals have been associated, especially with the date of November 1st or October 31st, with the eve again. And so Christians can on the one hand say, yes, we're going to celebrate Halloween, and even participate in some of the secular things that go along with it. That is to say, trick-or-treating, right? Hmm. Going around and getting goodies from your neighbors. And that practice actually is a Christian practice too, because for many, this kind of goes back to the social justice warrior thing. There was a long tradition of, especially the poor, the orphans, children who were in schools. You know, if they weren't in their hometowns necessarily, they'd go to what we might call a boarding school. They actually every day went around and asked for sustenance, asked for goodies, food, alms, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. And the Christian neighbors cared for their the poor and needy by giving them things. And so even trick-or-treating itself kind of has a connection there.
Interesting.
Now, does that mean that we should be jumping into all of the blood and gore and all of these things and all of the superstitions that have come from paganism that have been attached to this, probably not the best thing in the world to be doing. We certainly are called not to participate in satanic arts, as the Catechism puts it.
Yes.
To be doing any of that nonsense. The devil is real, and the devil's goal is always to lead us away from Christ. However, on the other hand, we can also say by dressing up, we're making a mockery of the devil.
Hmm.
And as Christians, making a mockery of the devil is a confession of the faith. He is real. He is an enemy, and we ought not mess with him. We ought not ever kind of delve into, again, the satanic arts or anything that goes along with that. However, he's also a defeated enemy, and we are the baptized. Christ has clothed us not with a costume, but with his robe of righteousness. He has put his name on us, and we are his children. And so we can enjoy things like taking your kids trick-or-treating, or, you know, for the kids listening, going around trick-or-treating, going to a party and bobbing for apples and all of that sort of thing, in confidence and in faith, remembering who we are as the baptized.
That's a really good topic to really touch base on, because there's plenty of people who are just confused. Should we be doing this? Should we not be doing this? You know, I remember when I was just beginning high school, and I was at my church, and they had a Halloween festival. I don't know if they called it that, but they had one type of game that had a witch on it. And my mom, oh, she got so upset. She said, "Jim, I want you to take that tennis ball. It's part of the game. Take that tennis ball and throw it at that witch." And I couldn't do it. I never really played baseball when I was a kid, so I didn't quite hit it. But she was really upset with the fact that there's this witch at the church, and that shouldn't be there. And you know, and that kind of gave me the impression of we just shouldn't do Halloween at all.
And you know, and I think that's where the Christian needs to use their God-given reasoning skills. And some things are not going to be God-pleasing things to participate in, and so. In freedom, maybe it's best not to do that. But I think oftentimes what Christians want to do is just toss away everything that is there without kind of discerning, you know, what can be done in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to kind of use our heads there. You know, is this a God-pleasing thing or not? It's an interesting topic.
Yeah,
with a lot of various opinions and so forth.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns. We've discussed whether or not Jesus was a social justice warrior. No. next, it's got an ongoing joke today. And we're discussing Halloween. And next question I want to get to after the break is about the pastor himself. What's it like to be a pastor? And I know. We're not going to fit all that in 15 minutes, but we're going to try. We're going to try. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Which, by the way, when you're waiting, go to our Facebook page, The Y Files, and you can submit a question that you might like to have on this program that we will ask on your behalf to a pastor in the future. So The Y Files. Be sure to like our page and share our page while you're there and make any other comments. Get the word out there. We're a great show. We'll be right back.
It's off.
It's a tangent.
It's off on a tangent.
Yes, it's off on a tangent at 7 p.m. live Saturdays. Get yours today at participating stores.
Warning, pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to off on a tangent. Caution, off on a tangent may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Off on a tangent contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Discontinue use if the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, and profuse sweating. If off on a tangent begins to smoke, get away immediately. Seek shelter and cover head. Off on a tangent may stick to certain kinds of skin. When not in use, off on a tangent should be returned to a special container and kept under refrigeration. Failure to do so relieves off on a tangent of any and all reliability.
It's off on a tangent at 7 p.m. live Saturdays. Get yours today!
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
And we're back here. The Wyatt Files and Captain Kirk along here with David and Pastor Jesse Burns. We've been discussing whether or not Jesus was a social justice warrior. We just touched base on Halloween, and now I want to discuss a little bit about what it's like to be a pastor. So David, you've got those questions that you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Skip ahead to what's the life of a pastor like?
Okay. What is it like to go through seminary, and what is it like to be a pastor? What are the misconceptions of being a pastor? What is it like for the spouse of a pastor? And how can a congregation best support their pastor?
I wasn't meaning to read all of them, because I'm thinking we're not going to get to all of them. There's a lot there.
Well, that's the whole question.
That's the whole question.
So I can pick and choose is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Multiple choice.
The life of the pastor is both, on the one hand, a joyous life, but also a life under orders. That is to say that there are many things of being a pastor that are absolutely joyous, but a lot of things that are also kind of weigh heavily. Mm-hmm. Can kind of cause a man to well, let's put it this way. We get to rejoice with the saints.
Mm-hmm.
We also suffer with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking earlier about being Christians towards our neighbors and taking part in their life with our material goods. And the pastor gets to do that on a day-to-day basis.
Hold on a second. You mean you don't just work on Sundays?
No. Yeah, I usually roll in about Sunday morning, 5 minutes before the service and leave a couple minutes after, and then I fish the rest of the week. I live on the shore of Clear Lake. It's beautiful. It's great fishing. No. we are honored to walk alongside Christ's bride in both her joys and her sorrows.
Now, before you continue, what do you mean by Christ's bride?
That's a great question. See, and this is the thing about being a pastor, is oftentimes we slip into just kind of our jargon and knowing what we mean and not kind of expounding. So thank you. The church, and let's just boil it down to my congregation, to the people to whom I've been called to serve,
mm-hmm.
the people who gather at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa, are those who have been redeemed by Christ. They are sinners who, in and of themselves, are lost, and would be condemned, but Christ has saved them. He has called them to faith. He has given them His Holy Spirit and made them His people, and made them then a part of the church, the body of Christ. And the scriptures describe that relationship with Him as being that of one like a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
She is His bride.
Yeah.
And He has laid down His life for her, and He loves her, and He provides for her, and He cares for her. And one of the ways in which He does that is He sends a man to speak on His behalf to His bride, and to tend to His bride and to give His gifts to His bride, to His church, through the Word, through the proclamation of the Scriptures, through the Holy Sacraments. And that means then that my job is to take those things that Christ gives to His church, His Holy Word, His Blessed Sacraments, and to give them to His people in not just on Sunday morning. A pastor does not preach merely for 15 minutes on a Sunday morning, or in some places 40 minutes, depending on your pastor, right? But in all situations, I have been honored to be called to many deathbeds. One always sticks in my mind. Getting a phone call at 3 a.m. and entering into the house of a man who had been preparing for death for a long time, and to sit at his bedside throughout the course of the morning until his Lord called him home, and to speak the scriptures to him and to his family. And to minister to them, in the days and weeks and months and years afterwards. So you share in those times of sorrow. You share in the joys. You're called to come to the hospital when a new baby's born, and to hold that child and then to baptize that child and to incorporate them into the body of Christ. And so you share in those joys. You share in those sorrows. You sit with those who are weeping and mourning and hurting. You get to speak God's word to them in all of these situations. And so just like any other vocation, there are things that are really enjoyable and things that are very difficult. But what a pastor seeks to do, any pastor who's worth his salt, is seeking to be faithful. And is seeking to remember that these are Christ's people, that as St. Peter says, that we are tending the flock of God, not our own flock, but His. And the name pastor itself means shepherd. We are under shepherds of the good shepherd.
Right.
And they're to care for his people.
So you mentioned sitting at the bedside of those who are dying. You know, I guess I count myself blessed not to have actually experienced seeing somebody die. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be hard on pastors. And you know, when people are struggling and I go to their pastors for need, for help and for comfort, I've kind of always wondered, where do pastors go for that?
That's an excellent question. Pastors need pastors. They need to have. They need to receive care just as they give it. You know, I mean, we can only give when we've been given to. Pastors are there to absolve sins, right? To hear people who are burdened with their sin confess their sins and speak absolution. A pastor also needs that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, this last Friday, I drove to see my father confessor. The pastor to whom I go to for confession, absolution, and for pastoral care. And so a pastor needs that as well in order to give those gifts as well. One of the main things that a pastor does, you know, in the course of a week is to study the scriptures in preparation for the sermon and Bible studies and all sorts of things. He also needs to also kind of be refreshed by by learning from others, to continue to to get together with brother pastors, to study the scriptures together, and all of those things as well. He needs to hear preaching now and then, even as he prepares to preach. And that happens in a number of ways. I mentioned the Father Confessor. It also happens, you know, in our church body. We have a tendency to at least once a month get together with the area pastors. We call them circuits in our church body. There's usually kind of 8 to 10 churches are involved, and those pastors get together and study the scriptures together and hear the word of God together and talk about things and learn and grow together. Those things are important as well.
So pastors don't just work on Sundays. They have a vocation that's 24/7.
Yeah. You know, and you know, those pastors, you know, for those who are listening, your pastors, they're on call 24/7. And I'll tell you this, at least this is true for most of the pastors that I know. They take that very seriously. And they want to be notified when Christ's people are in need, even if you're thinking that's an inconvenient time. I hear oftentimes, "Well, Pastor, I didn't want to bother you. I know that you're busy. I didn't want to bother you, so I didn't tell you that I was in the hospital for 2 weeks." Well, your pastor wants to know so that he can come and give you God's word. Mm-hmm. He wants to know when you're hurting so that he can share in that with you. And give to you the healing salve of the gospel. And so, no, a pastor's on call 24/7. Sometimes that can be hard on his family. That's kind of something that that the pastor and the family together need to work out. And the pastor needs to be mindful of as well, caring for his own family as well in those times.
So pastors, they need confession and absolution. They need Christ's comfort as well by going to another pastor in the area. But is there anything that the congregation can do for their pastors?
Yeah, many things. One, to make sure that his and his family's needs are being met. You know, pastors are given a salary. They are supported financially through the congregation. So, you know, as a congregation is able to pay that pastor appropriately, so that his needs are met, and more especially and more kind of near and dear to my heart is his family. Those who depend on him, they can support him by making sure that he gets his vacation, you know, that when he needs it, that he's not. Oftentimes, pastors will put that sort of thing off, mm-hmm. But he needs to be encouraged to rest. He needs to be encouraged to keep up his his ongoing education. I think congregations can really support their pastors by making sure that they can get to continuing courses, whether it be at the seminary or there's all sorts of different options around. There's many different ways. And I'll say this as maybe the last thing, and this is maybe the most important thing. As a congregation, hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. A pastor wants nothing more than Christ's people to receive Christ's gifts. And when Christ's people aren't there to receive, it weighs heavily on him. So listen to the word of God. Rejoice and receive the gifts that Christ has for you through him. But remembering that it's Christ's gift. And so rejoice and receive those things. Take advantage of those opportunities and don't neglect them. That will speak volumes to your pastor. That will encourage him in his work to know that that God's people are receiving God's gifts. That is absolutely huge.
Thank you, Pastor Jesse Burns, for joining us this afternoon here on the Y-Files. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you. It's very good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. It's that time. It means time to go.
Yep.
So if you have any questions, you can submit your questions to the Y-Files on our Facebook page. And go to the website, thecross957.org, and listen to more of these episodes. We got to go. See you, Lincoln.